Today is Sunday, June the 27th, 2010, and Mark wanted to do a study on the history of
Hebrews
and the Hebrew people. For the first two periods, the history of the Jews is mainly that of the Fertile Crescent. It begins among those people who occupied the area lying between the Nile, the Tigris, and the Euphrates River, and we have a lot of history that shows us that the Garden of Eden was, of course, in that same area because that's where Adam and Eve were created. And, of course, as things developed, the ancient seats of the culture in Egypt and Babylonia, by the deserts of Arabia, and by the highlands of Asia Minor, which of course is the land of Canaan, later known as Israel, then at various times we see Judah, Syria, Judea, Palestine, what is now known as the Holy Land, and was kind of the meeting place of civilization. Now, according to the Bible, the Hebrew people around the world are descended from the people of Israel who settled in the land of Canaan, located between the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River. And we know that the children of Israel shared a lineage through their common ancestors. God told Abraham that he would give him the seed as the sands of the sea. And we see that Abraham, his son Isaac, and Isaac's son Jacob were Hebrews whose nomadic tribes centered around Hebron. The Bible tells us that the children of Israel consisted of 12 tribes, and they were each descendants of Jacob's 12 sons. His 12 sons being Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Dan, Gad, Naphtali, Asher, Benjamin, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun. And Jacob and his 12 sons left Canaan during a severe famine and settled in Goshen. And while in Egypt, their descendants were enslaved by the Egyptian government led by the Pharaoh. But after 400 years of slavery, Yahweh, or God, Jehovah, the God of Israel, sent the Hebrew prophet Moses, a man from the tribe of Levi, to release the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And we see, because of the divine miracle of God leading them across the Red Sea, that they eventually made it to Canaan. So that's a broad sweep of the Hebrew people in the Old Testament. We see that the kingdom of Judah was conquered by a Babylonian army in the 6th century, and that there was a construction of a second temple under the Jewish prophets Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. But during the Hellenistic period, the Hebrew people were influenced by the Hellenistic philosophy of the day. But there was a deterioration of the relations between Hellenized Jews and the religious Jews. So there's been a struggle between those who tried to keep the covenants of the God of Isaac and Jacob and those who came and went into the pagan worship of other gods. After the birth of Christ, there was a prophecy by Christ of the destruction of the temple of the Hebrew people, and it's called the Siege of Jerusalem. And in 70 AD, the Romans destroyed much of the temple in Jerusalem. In fact, according to most accounts, they plummeted it. They destroyed a lot of the artifacts, and such as the menorah, and it was ravaged. And the Jewish people were sold into slavery, wiped out, and many of them, of course, became citizens of the Roman Empire. Now, if you look in the book of Acts in the New Testament, as well as the other Pauline epistles, we get a sense that Christ was the answer to many of the descendants of the Hebrew people. And we can see that even a book in the New Testament is named after the Hebrew people, called the Book of the Hebrews. And it was directed to those Jews who Christ had come as their Messiah for. And in that book, it talks about the fact that there was one greater than Moses, Jesus Christ. Now, many of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people today, deny that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That they, by the way, the Orthodox Jews of the day are still looking for a Messiah. Now, there was another prophecy that, by the way, Jesus of Nazareth was born in the lineage of David, the line of Judah. In fact, both of his parents were from the lineage and the line of David. And Jesus made a prophecy that if you will destroy this temple, I will raise it in 3 days. And he was speaking of himself. And that history records that there was over 500 witnesses that witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, there was a lot of tremendous amount of persecution of those Hebrew people that made a confession of their faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua. And they were maligned, and they were martyred for the cause of their faith. Many of the much of the history that we've seen is that down through the history is that the Jewish people have suffered much persecution. We know about the persecution of the Jews in Germany at the hands of Adolf Hitler. Many of those Jews that were persecuted, though, were not Christians. Many of them were Orthodox Jews. Now, we've talked before about the fact that there is also a prophecy in the New Testament, in the 11th chapter of Romans, that talks about a change that's going to happen during the last days for the Hebrew or the Jewish people. Originally, Paul says the Jewish people were the original line of people that received the mercy and graciousness of God. And He starts in the first chapter talking about this Hebrew seed. Mark, read the first verse. Actually, the first verse of the 11th chapter of Romans. Mark, read that for us.
I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin.
Paul is pointing out here that he is the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. And he goes on to say, the second verse, that God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. So we see here, down through history, there's been two kinds of Hebrew people. There have been those who have believed that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and there have been those that have not believed. And the ones that have not believed have persecuted the ones who have believed. But we see that even though they killed the prophets and so on, God is sovereign in this whole thing. Mark, read verse 4.
What saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal.
It goes on to say, even so then at this present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, have there is a remnant of them. And the thing about this particular passage of Scripture, we see a very clear line between those who have been recipients of God's grace and those who haven't, and it's all dependent upon God's election. Mark, read verse 7.
What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded.
Now here we see the doctrine of reprobation, and it's not taught very much in theological circles at all, but in verse 8, is the doctrine of reprobation. It says, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Verse 9.
David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them.
Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their backs all way. Now, we're going to fast forward. You can go ahead and read through this chapter on your own, but we see as we get toward the end of the chapter that, first of all, we find that in verse 12 we ought to probably just go ahead and read through this. Verse 10 says, let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back all way. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So we see why God in his divine providence orchestrated reprobation for a part of the Hebrew people. Read verse 12.
Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?
So now we're going to see that according to Scripture, some of the Hebrew people are going to come back to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He says, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. If by any means I say, provoke to emulation, which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Now, read verse 15, Mark.
For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?
Now he calls these Hebrew people the natural branches, and he calls the Gentiles those that have been grafted in. And he said, going now down to verse 17, if some of the branches be broken off, thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in, that's the Gentiles, among them, and with them partakers of the root, that's partakers of salvation, boast not against the branches. In other words, don't boast against the Hebrew people that are God's elect. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. And now the warning is, be not high-minded, but fear. Verse 21, Mark.
For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee, the Gentiles, goodness. Now, he now gives the proclamation as to what is going to happen to some of these elect Hebrews. He says, and they also shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Verse 23. Verse 24, Mark.
For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree?
Paul goes on to explain that he doesn't want us to be ignorant. He said, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, in part, is happened to Israel, to the Hebrew people, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, I believe that the fullness of the Gentiles is close to becoming in. The reason I believe that, I believe we're living in the last days. Now, when he talks about all Israel being saved, when Paul talks about all Israel being saved, he's talking not only about the elect Hebrew children, but he's also talking about the Gentiles. Verse 26, Mark.
And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
And who is this that came out of Zion? Who was this deliverer? Well, we know that this deliverer was Jesus Christ. We know that because in verse 27 it says, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now, he ends this by talking about the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, and how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out, and so on. But what we're talking this afternoon is about the Hebrew children, and how that just like there is among the Gentiles, there are two groups of people, the same is among the Hebrew people. There are those who have been recipients of God's grace, and there are those who have not. And who are we to know who are and who aren't? He says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Verse 35.
For who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again.
For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and all men. So, Paul gives there the final word, which is the sovereignty of God in salvation for both the Hebrew people and the Gentiles. And so that is the message that we're proclaiming today, is God's sovereignty in salvation. And the fact that he has a group of people on the face of the earth that he has shown mercy to. And he has created a group of people on the face of the earth that he has chosen not to show mercy to. And the one side we have the sheep, and on the other side we have the goats. And we are, as God's people, commanded to make our calling and election sure. Father, we pray that you would take this message on the Hebrew people and use it for your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.